Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Good.
Can you hear me?
Good afternoon. It could be good afternoon. It could be good morning. It could be good evening, wherever you are in the world. It's early morning here in Maui, Hawaii, and on the East Coast, it's, 5 hours later. And Kelly Mullenix, Realty Universal president and founder, with us. Good morning.
Hey, Randy, how you doing? How's Maui over there?
You know what? It's dark right now. It's pre-dawn, and it's kind of cool and breezy. As you know, the fog that kind of sometimes comes from the volcanoes, was when we landed, it was pretty thick.
When did you get in?
What's that?
When did you get in? Yesterday or?
Actually Wednesday afternoon.
Okay.
So we've been here a couple days now, and I'm doing a marriage workshop at our former church, Hope Chapel, in Kihei on Saturday. And then next weekend we'll be going over to Molokai to speak at a church, a little marriage thing over there. So between, we may catch the beach and watch some whales and have some fun. So.
Wow, that's great. Tell Monica I said hi.
Great, I will. And I know you... you are still on the East Coast in Maryland.
Yeah, I'm really supposed to be back in Hawaii right now, but I have things to take care of with my brother passing. And, so I'm on the East Coast and going to be here for a little bit. We're going to do a completely different show today, as we discussed a little bit. Just kind of on, you know, things as we do our real estate radio show. The first half is for real estate, and the second half is a topic of the week, things happening in the world, issues happening, lots of self-help issues and spiritual issues. And this week, you and I talked about doing a short show on death and how death is really not talked about in our society as much as we would like. You know, we talk about weddings and births and things like that, but death is kind of a taboo subject at times. So you and I were going to talk a little bit about that and how it relates and some of the emotions that go with that as well.
Well, it's real life, and that's what I love about this show, is that it is real life. I know sometimes folks tune into a show and it's supposedly about real estate. The last two shows, you know, the show's been chock full in our first half hour of real estate nuggets, things people need to know about all kinds of things. And usually the second half of the show, we, as you say, talk about what's going on in the world, the universe, spirituality, giving back, all of that stuff. And today, again, an abbreviated program focusing mostly on death. And, obviously this has been something that you're going through with your brother, and I know it's a challenge, and there are some circumstances there that just can't. I mean, just losing a loved one alone is enough to make, I think, all of us really struggle emotionally. And then when you add circumstances to it and, you know, need to investigate and that kind of thing, it even makes worse.
You know, and it's really weird for some people to come out and the lies that come out and people, some things that can come out that are just hard to believe that anybody would even do, you know. So it's really, there's, when you have a death, I think the tragedy is in itself horrible. And then when it's a tragic death that could have been, there's some foul play and things like that, it just makes it even worse. But, you know, you hear people constantly say, well, I don't know, you know, this person was sick for a long time and so we had time, but then it still hurts so badly. Some people, you know, die immediately, and the shock is just so too much shock. And I think we all would agree when it's there's death, no way is a good way, right? You know, when we're here on the earth plane. Thank God for faith, and to have faith and believe that we go on and our spirit goes on and goes to heaven and ascends I have some friends that are in Pikesville that they don't believe that you go on at all. They just said when it's over, it's over. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in life after death, they don't believe in any of it. And to me, I can't imagine how one can get through when they don't have any faith at all in it. You know, it's but it's interesting though when you know you see people and everybody's, how are you? We always expect someone to say, I'm fine, how are you? And when someone says, well, I'm not fine, you know, people kind of shun away a little, you know, in life. I've noticed death seems to be a topic that in our society we really don't dig in and just start talking about it, you know. And I forced myself to go to a convention last week, but I was not very social for a couple days just because I was in too much pain. And I ran into a gentleman who said his, you know, we were talking and I said my brother had just passed away and he's only 48 and tragic motorcycle accident. He said his mother passed away in the fall, last fall, and which would be September 2011, and that she's 90 years old. And he said it's really interesting the things people say because the pain's so strong that, you know, it's difficult. But he said he really hates it when people say to him, oh, she's 90. She lived a great long life, so that's good for her, you know. And inside he's thinking, that's my mother, and I still miss her the same, you know, and he's having a hard time with it. You know, I had somebody say to me, well, you know, I cried for a year when my mother died, and this is somebody that I know loves me very much, that I've known, been friends with for years. She said she cried terribly for an hour a day when her mother died when she was 11, and then she said she kind of had to suck it up and move on, so you got to cry and suck it up and move on. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to hear that. You know what I mean? Like, there, you know, there's things, it's a very touchy subject because, you know, of what, and it's just one of those, it's a, you know, and we have to move on, but each one of us grieves differently, and I think it's very important to grieve, because if you don't grieve, then you're going to, you know, stuff all those feelings, and, but,
Oh boy, and I'm the king stuffer, as we've talked about. You know, my mom died when I was 9, and I remember, you know, and this kind of relates in a way to what you're talking about in terms of how you deal with it, because nobody knows until it happens how to deal with death. And my folks, I guess my dad and my grandparents decided it would be good for me at 9 years old and my brother at 7 years old to, you know, to see the casket. And we did. We walked up there and, of course, ran out of the church and cried and wept and So you're right, but and then a lifetime of stuffing the grief because I wasn't really able to express it at that time correctly, and that's so huge. And I know you're on that path of doing that as you're seeking counseling and working through this, is processing it in a healthy way, so that you're not suppressing, but you're allowing, you know, feel it, feel the gut-wrenching pain because it's there, and don't stuff it. Feel it in all its ferocity, but take God into it. And I had to do that kind of I had to do that years later with the help of counseling, is going back to feel that pain, going back into that place where I was a 9-year-old boy who was wondering why God took my mom, and all of that anger and all of that pain, and I just stuffed it. And what I began to, you know, drink and do drugs, and I think a lot of people, you know, do that. As we talked about last week, the addictive thing happens often. It's a result of some pain that wasn't processed properly.
And I think it's really important in our lives to find a time to heal and a time to get through issues that we can bring to the forefront, so that we don't constantly, every time there's a tragedy in our life or an issue, we regress. Because it seems psychologically that it's very easy for us to regress to whatever problems we had as a child. You know, if we had any issues or hurts or pains or abuses or anything, it's easy to get back into that, you know, or you know, just like you said, you know, it scared you and your brother, and it could have, that could have traumatized you in other ways that comes back, and you're not even realizing that's what the issue is, you know? You know, with little other things that traumatizes you.
You know, that's so true. That is, you just hit something on the head, because, okay, so what did we do? What was our physical reaction to that, seeing my mom in a casket, as we ran? We turned and ran. And so for much of my life, like you say, and I didn't even know it was a factor, but for much of my life, whenever I came up against something that was, you know, stressful, painful in any way, I would run. I would move. You know, my wife, my kids, and I, we moved 22 times in the first 10 years of marriage.
Wow. You know, and it's funny you say that because, like, fear or flight is a natural reaction in, you know, if, say, you're, you know, walking outside and, an animal comes running at you, you're going to, you know, it's healthy to get flight and say, okay, I've got to get out of there. You know, and the endorphins are going to start moving, right? It's normal to have fear of something. Someone's going to come at you and almost hit you, or there's different things where somebody's going to have fear, but those emotions and those feelings, when they get triggered, we don't know what they are. So like you and your brother running away and having the fear and being scared to death, then any time if that's not worked through or it's taken in the wrong way, that that those emotions would be healthy or normal to have, you may equate it with that, not knowing it, and subconsciously shut down. Go, oh, I can't do this. This doesn't feel right. I know with my brother, I cannot believe my baby brother is so wonderful, and he was in the middle of splitting up with someone because the person was cheating, and now this person is acting like taking everything he had and doing all these things that are just unbelievable. We can't even believe it. It's crazy to us, and it hurts so badly, and there's it looks like some foul play, and it's just a mess. And I had talked to the minister counseling, and he said, you know, you're so focused on the tragedy and what happened and the incident and the accident, trying to figure it out, trying to put the pieces together because there's not a witness, and you know, so far, and that you're taking your pain and putting it over there instead of it needs to be on grief, just crying and crying, because no matter what happened to your brother, he said, I can't bring him back. You know, and we feel the anger and the emotions, and he's like, you have to forgive even if somebody did something wrong, which is so hard to do. You know, it's very hard to do, especially when you're so raw, and I'm so raw right now. It's really tough because our bodies are, we're made like miracles. We really are miracles, and there's all these things that will stuff. And pain is one of them. None of us like to feel pain. It's like, oh, God, do anything to not feel this pain, you know? I mean, I remember having in labor with my son almost 33 years ago, and it was like, dear God, please get me into next week. Please get me into next week, right? But, of course, I had the miracle of a beautiful baby once I went through all that pain for hours and hours, you know? But we don't like pain. But in our society, it's really interesting. I don't know how people do it when they don't believe in God and the spirit world and that we move on. I can't imagine that's the only thing that's giving me any peace with my brother right now, knowing that he is in a better place. And then I have to take it one day at a time. And again, this drama that adds to it that shouldn't even be happening with this stuff going on with somebody who didn't even care about him. And it's just a nightmare, you know? But I noticed that, you know, like the Bible and our shows, we don't, you know, I'm Christian. I was raised Catholic. I love God with all my heart. I know you're Christian, right? And we don't profess, okay, you have to be this religion, that religion, or whatever, although we have our beliefs. And I find no matter what religion it is, when people are aspiring towards God and the good and the spirits and the soul, there's a comfort because we have to turn it over. We can't do all of this ourselves, you know. And I find, like with a death, a serious depression can set in where you're like, I don't want to go on. I don't want to do anything. I have apathy. I don't want to move on. I'm too sick. It's too much. I can't do it, you know. Yeah. And it's tough because they do have grievance centers, I think, and people that you can go to talk to groups, and it's very healthy to talk. You know, some people don't like to talk. Of course, I'm a talker, so I have to get it out. I have to cry. I have to express my feelings. And it's a tough thing, too, because you don't want to express your feelings at the expense of others. For example, when I went to the convention last week, it was a three-day thing, and I just said, I'm going to go because I've got to plug in. But then I didn't want to be antisocial. I didn't also want to put my upset on anyone else, you know, so I found like when it was the meal time and people in the banquet rooms and everybody's eating together and mingling, I kind of got my food and went away, you know, walked out because I didn't want to be saying, you know, why are you depressed? Why are you, you know, and I couldn't put the face on and just pretend that life's wonderful. Yeah. You know, I just thought I was in way too much pain. And that happens with people all the time. And in our society, unfortunately, somebody might just not feel like talking and we're thinking they're rude, but they're not rude. we don't know what they're going through, you know. So all of these things, and you and I, we talk about this stuff, and it's the real world. But I was really surprised when it comes to death. I mean, we all know people that die constantly, but we have different levels of how close we're with people. You know, we've got acquaintances as friends, and when it's somebody that's so close to your heart, it's tragic. And again, everybody deals with it differently, but I think it's a good thing they have the funeral. You know, it's a really good thing that the funerals are set up and they have viewings, or different religions do it different ways, but people have gatherings of people. People are coming and helping, bringing food, or, you know, trying to see if you need anything. That really helps you in that initial shock because you need it. But after that, everybody's gone, not everybody, but many are gone, and then the pain really sets in, you know, and everybody says, well, get back to work now, that life goes on, it has to go on, come on, you got to move forward. And that's what, I don't know, you have any suggestions? I know you mentioned a couple things, I think, when people are going through this.
Yeah, you know, the word that comes...
You said John Eldridge or something, huh?
Yeah, the word that comes to mind is stuck, that sometimes you can get stuck because you know you're supposed to move on, but you can't. And so you get what, you know, you're stuck. And what does that mean? And how do you move through it? And I think it's really, in my journey, I found it's important to understand what's really going on. You know, I think it was Einstein, believe it or not, talked about the universe. And he said, at some point, you've got to decide for yourself whether we're in a universe that is all good and there's no evil, or there's evil. And that will really, to a large extent, determine kind of your outlook on life. And one of my favorite authors, John Eldridge, just, my goodness, if you get a chance, just Google some of the titles of books he's written. But he wrote one book called Waking the Dead, of all titles. And he's talking about man becoming fully alive and what that means. And his contention in the book is that because of all of the pain and heartache and disappointments that we go through as human beings, we virtually over the years kind of give up. Yeah, we continue maybe to work, maybe not. I think the poster children for giving up would be people you see on the street who have just said, you know what, this is all too much for me. I'm going to push a shopping cart and be homeless. I don't know what else to do. I've given up. But guess what? I think a lot of us see those people. And as we get older, we understand to some degree how pain and disappointment drives somebody to give up like that, because in varying degrees, we tend to give up if we don't believe that there's a universe with good and evil. And he wrote a line that just to me makes me – he said, something wonderful woos us, which is God, woos us to him. But guess what? Something evil stalks us. And when you understand that, it helps you understand the world, which is, in this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. Jesus said it. In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And therein lies our hope. And if we don't have that hope, all we have is the pain and the depression and the anger and all that stuff that just dogpiles on us. And to the point where we, again, if we don't give up and just start pushing a shopping cart around and babble, which a lot of people do, they just give in to all that, we will go through life, you know, literally walking dead. And his whole point is we need to understand that these evil things, bad things happen, but that God is wooing us to him.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, people say, I don't believe in the devil. I do believe in the evil because I've seen evil, you know. And I find when we put a shield of protection around ourselves and our families and we really walk in God's word, that it feels so much more peaceful and we're protected. I think the devil, you know, he does try to go after people he doesn't already have. And then you see some people that truly have no consciences, like they talk about in Timothy 3 in the end times, that people's consciences will be seared like a hot iron. And you see where people just can, you know, do that, and it's sad. And I think for the most part, people are very good, but you start to see this evil, and it's destructive. You know, I think it can make you gun shy in wanting to reach out there and connect and go full force out in the world with your plans and dreams and aspirations because you get knocked down, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But the God, like, for example, there's a verse in Psalm 48:14 that says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And you know, I know, like, with my brother's death, I was like, you know, the thing that I can't figure out in my brain is, like, do we really go when it's our time, or are there accidents, or, you know, and none of us have all the definite answers, you know. It does say in the Bible that we won't live one day past our time, but can we shorten it? It appears that way by making bad choices, you know, getting into the wrong situations, you know, so it's really, it's amazing. Our world should be, our world's much more simpler than we make it. And the Bible, for example, and we're not preaching, but we're just saying what we believe, really does give you a step-by-step book to follow, you know. And I find that, I know years ago when I would read it, sometimes it was very confusing. And now it seems like with the veil taken off, it just makes so much more sense. The verses really come in and make sense. And there's another one, Psalm 37, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delight in his way." You know, it's, I just can't. And another one is Proverbs 11, "The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness." And I do believe that. I believe when people really are doing the wrong things, that something's going to get the best of them, you know. But it doesn't make it any easier when we're going through these pain and we're trying to deal with things. And we have, just like, you know, we have society's rules, you know. You have must do this, must not do this, and people expect certain things. And it's just, it makes it difficult when you're going through pain. To not try to go by yourself and just try to suck it in and bury it, you know.
It's powerful, and some people call it karma. You know, hey, you know, whatever you do, it's going to come around, and you can call it whatever you want, but it's very true about people that do evil. That, you know, God says ultimately, whether in this world or the next. In other words, because sometimes you look at people who are evildoers and they seem to be prospering, and you know, and you're trying to live a godly life, and you're like, so what's up with that? You know, that's not fair. You know, these people are evil, they're wicked, and they seem to be prospering, but you know, it ain't over yet is the point. You know, there's a point where all evil will be dealt away with, and you know, the idea of evil being finally destroyed, you know, and the devil being thrown in the lake of fire, and you know, it being over, and that there new heaven, new earth. You know, we'll have new bodies. You know, you'll be with your brother. I'll be with my mom. You know, we'll be together for eternity. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. And believe me, I've gone through periods. For those of you who are listening, think we're just a couple of Jesus freaks. Here's the deal. I personally, I've been through those dark seasons where, like you said in Psalms, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you know, He is with me. And He is with me, and it's in those dark places we find God. It's so weird. When things are going really well, most of us really don't think about the need for God. We feel like, wow, we're on top of the world. We're making money. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're successful. Wow, aren't I cool? But when these things happen to us, and it can be, you know, that cause pain or cause whatever in our lives, it makes us realize those dark places. There's another verse.
Right.
I think that says, you will find treasures hidden in the darkness, meaning in those darkest places you'll find treasures. And Monica and I, for us, we went through some seasons in our lives where some dark places where we're like, God, it seems like everybody else is prospering and we're not. We're losing our home. We're this, we're that. I don't have a job. Where are you? Where are you, God? And in those dark, dark places, when we would pray, we found Him to be more real than He ever was in the good times. So in those dark, dark, dark places, the beauty is you'll find Him more real. God, and so in a way, you kind of look at the dark places and go, wow, this is really awesome, you know, because God is there in a power and in a reality that he isn't when we're going through the good times. So
yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, and it's funny. You'll hear people say that a lot. You know, oh God, dear God, where are you? And then wait a minute, they're calling out when they're in pain, and when they're in glory, they forget about God, and that's not good. You know the picture, the footprints in the sand, where someone, Jesus is carrying somebody, and they're saying, where were you? I didn't see your footprints then, and it was, I only saw one set of footprints, and it's because Jesus was carrying us, you know. You know, with the footprints in the sand, and it's really, it's just wonderful. I can see, it's just wonderful what God brings into our lives, and He really does love us, and He loves us so strongly. And you know, when you really get in tune with your spirit and meditating and praying, and you feel it, you go, wow, this is really, really real. You know, this God's real. This is not some hocus pocus. This is not whatever. It gets to me sad when you get in the secular world and people are saying, absolutely not. There's nothing here, nothing here, nothing here. You know, and it's there's a big void, you know, with it. And when we were, you know, talking about death again, it's one of those things people want to just poo poo, shush, shush, you know, like, okay, that's a bad subject. Let's not talk about death, you know? And it's important. I think it's important for us to understand death and the glory behind it. You know, it's tragic though for loved ones that aren't going to see their relatives and friends and, you know, loved ones for a while. There's trauma. Trauma comes into things. I mean, like they talk about post-traumatic stress, and I can't imagine. We should do a show on that one day with it, you know, and all that. Can't imagine how the soldiers and military coming back and, you know, having to go through what they go through, and then, you know, having to come into society and everyone's going, okay, this is the world, this is what's going on, just come on, suck it up and go on, you know, and plug right back into, you know, people watching this and watching that and just kind of, you know, worrying about themselves. I mean, the post-traumatic stress is real. And it's just so important to deal with these things. And I think in our society, it's important for us to not shun everything. It's important for us to listen and care. And of course, we do have support groups and grievances, places to go, which are constantly popping up more and more, which is wonderful, you know, that we have it. But I just hope that the people that need it reach out, you know, like, because some people won't reach out. They'll just stay home and drink or take drugs or go somewhere else or do something drastic, you know. And it's because it's hard when depression grabs a hold of us from, you know, some people may have depression just from chemical imbalances. You know, I've heard people say, oh, that's not true. And I've seen people have these issues and they do have it and they need to get help to figure out what's going on. But many, many people get thrown into a depression from a tragic thing, something tragic, just like with my brother dying so tragically. I talked to him 4 hours before and he's dead within 4 hours and it doesn't make sense, you know. And people get these tragedies and I think, you know, it's okay to say, no, I'm dealing with this. I need to deal with this and I need time to deal with this instead of, you know, oh, everything's great. You know, I can do this. So I think, you know, just wanted to mention, and you and I with our love for God and your marriage, the marriage counseling you do, that's with, is it Christian-based or is it secular?
Oh, no, ours is definitely, you know, we can do both. Obviously, our story is that God, you know, healed our marriage. We were hopeless, two adult children of alcoholics. Know, being attracted to each other, which is weird, but that happens. You hear about it all the time. You know, you hear about, you know, people who are attracted. A woman maybe who watched her mom be beaten grows up and marries a guy who beats her. You know, it's the sicknesses and the things that, you know, dysfunctional things that we're, I think, exposed to as kids for whatever reason. It's comfortable. It's normal, as sick as it is, and we're drawn to that. So, Strange as it is, I think children of alcoholics are drawn to each other, and then they don't know how to process, you know, and let alone communicate, and it's just chaos. And so the first 10 years of marriage, you know, we were youth pastors. We were, you know, we kind of had an outward good presentation. I could make people laugh. Monica was, you know, engaging, and, you know, we could kind of fake it. But we were hurting. We were dying inside. And so after 10 years of that, literally of Christian radio and youth ministry, Monica filed for divorce. You know, I had an affair my alcoholism. Wow. I was hiding it.
Wow.
And yet here I was, a youth minister, and I was just a phony. And I was, and so that's kind of the brief. So that's why our marriage ministry is God-based, because it's absolutely God who untangled our mess and healed our hearts. But we also do a whole kind of just communication segment where we'll go and do something in a if you will, a secular setting, and just talk about communication techniques and
right.
not really get into the whole God thing, because some people, that's a little too much too fast. You know, some people
right,
need to
right.
prepare it. So help me communicate better. Really, that's all I want right now. And so there have been settings where we'll do that, say, in a community center or in conjunction with some other agency that isn't necessarily Christian, just wants help with marriage.
No,
we'll
it's fantastic.
But where we can, and, you know, where we can, we always talk about the fact that the bottom line is God is the reason we're even together.
I couldn't even live my life without God. I mean, I just wouldn't be. I would be completely lost. And it's funny though, because I went to some secular counseling over the years, and then I've tried the Christian counseling where it's really in depth, and you pray and the Spirit guides you too, night and day. I mean, the secular counseling. I mean, not that it has its place, and I mean, I'm sure in psychology 101 and above, I mean, people are going to get mad if they have their, you know, master's or doctorate degree in psychology, and I'm saying this. Not mad so much, but they may think, well, she doesn't know what she's talking about. No, I'm not discounting the psychological issues and the textbook classic issues where someone, you know, they say they're obsessive compulsive or bipolar, or, you know, just different things that I'm sure from, you know, that they can pinpoint. I think that's good, but without the spiritual side of it, it just isn't the same. And I know when I went to some secular counseling over the years, just for, you know, I started feelings that I felt when I was a child, and I was like, I've got to check this out, what's going on? You know, all that they really did, they didn't get into anything, they just had you talk, you know, and talking is good, and we need to vent, but it wasn't
yeah.
really digging into, you're doing this because this happened and you feel this way. They didn't do any of that, none of that. And then in the Christian counseling, they do, and they get into a lot of things. So it's, you know, life is, for me, I know I was feeling like on top of the world, everything was going great, I was in my zone, and then I feel like a 2x4 with my brother dying just whacked me right off, and you likened it to an oak tree, and I'm just like, you know, so I've cried myself to sleep at night, I'm doing things, and I'm slowly going to get through it. It makes it harder for me right now because of the other issues that are just crazy with this, my brother's somebody who did something not right to my brother, so it's kind of but we all have our own situations and our own issues, and I think, you know, knowing it's okay to get support, knowing to say you feel a certain way, talking about it. You know, when I was at the convention last week, I said, well, my brother just died a few weeks ago. You know, I felt like it was fine to just open up and say that. I know a lot of people are afraid to say anything, you know. They just want to shun whatever and act like life's just grand at all times. And it's okay to say, you know, I'm going through a tough time right now. You know, so it's...
Wow, what a show. This has been awesome. You know, we hesitated in talking in our show prep session. We hesitated even maybe to talk about this, but this has been something that I know, I think since you and I first met, we knew that talking back and forth about these kinds of issues, you know, would be part of something we would do someday, because it's important. And you betcha, real estate, and by the way, this is Realty Universal Radio, and it's, as we've said all along, it's a show about real estate, absolutely about the business side of buying and selling a home, whether you're a broker or a buyer or seller. We do that normally first half hour of every program. Second half hour, talk more about spirituality and life and giving back and God and all that. Today it's kind of a special edition of us, you know, really just kind of focusing on, camping on the emotion and of losing a loved one. And
yeah, the death, and the thing is, I think seeing how our society deals with it, that we don't talk about this. You know, we just so many things get shushed. You know, oh, I'm sorry, and then they go on to something else. You know, and I think that's I think our society, we need to be more open about death, like we are about life. You know, about birth and about other things that we talk about. You know, people talk on and on about something they did, and you know, and but death is, I think, a topic too. You know, how did you feel about it? What did you make you feel? How are you going on? You know, so it's just like it says in Psalm 48, I mentioned, you know, before, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And, you know, so we're not alone. We're not alone. And that's a good thing about support and support groups and friends. And because life is going to be ups and downs. You can be so, so happy one day and something can happen and change it all the next day. But if we try to keep our foundations and we let ourselves go through and we grieve and we get through and we say, it's okay to cry. It's okay to do things. My mother says it's not okay to cry. She doesn't want to cry. She doesn't want to show her emotions. And I disagree completely. So, you know, I disagree completely because I think if you don't do that, it's going to come out in other ways and hurt you. So I think it's okay to give ourselves that time to grieve. I was saying over and over the last few weeks, God, I just want to get on with it. I want to get on with it. This hurts so badly. I want to get on with it. And it's like, wait a minute. You can't get on with grief. You know, it's going to get better with time. It'll, you know, the crying, maybe you'll go from, you know, crying so many times a day to crying so many times a week to so many times a month to maybe, you know what I mean? Or less and less and less. And then something could happen in the future that'll make you cry again or make me cry again. But I'm learning that we have to do this. And again, we don't want to make our show a depressing show because it's not. There's a lot of fun and a lot of great in life and everything. And you know, one person may be depressed, another person's happy. Nobody wants to ruin their day. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with real life. Because I think in life, it's real simple. We need, you know, I believe we need God and love and peace. I mean, and the more that we can, you know, and that's where they talk about forgiveness and things in life too, you know. It's interesting, you know. But life does go on, and
go on. It does.
You know,
that is, you know, we've been talking a lot of scriptures, and one comes to mind as we wrap up here today. This program, and it is that you know, the word talks about you know, His mercies are new every morning, and so life goes on, and every day we get a divine do over. You know, the mistakes we made yesterday, they're forgiven, you know, and we can move on. And, you know, His mercies are new every morning, and we need His mercy and grace.
And I want to mention something else just in a psalm. Let me see something here. I'm just looking at yeah, God does take care of us. And it says, no weapon that is formed against me. This is in Isaiah 54. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and that their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And, you know, so through God we shall, for he is that shall tread down our enemies. You know, so it's pretty nice because a lot of times we're going through things like I know in my life, and we've got to end now. I think in my life right now, you know, I pretty much, you know, I always feel like, well, I'm in control. I can do this or do this, and you're doing business, and you know, you're not going to deal with the wrong types of people. I mean, that are going to cause trouble, or you know how to after so many years, you know, you can pick and choose certain things. But then once you have something happen, like I just had this tragedy with my brother, and my brother had been around some of the wrong people that has got bad news stuff going on with the girl, and you're like, it's out of my control, and I have to be able to valiantly stand in the Word of God, you know, and I'm going, oh my gosh, not used to this stuff. I don't deal with this kind of stuff. I can, you know, and it's just, and that happens with all of us because not everything is, we can't control everything, you know? So,
yep.
That's basically, I just wanted to mention, you know, this is all in our Bible. It's really wonderful. And I mean, I'll tell you, the Bible's the best book on earth in my book. And again, I'm not preaching to somebody. I'm just telling you what, you know, the reality of what's incredible and what can carry us through all different times and circumstances. So, Randy, once again, you are awesome, and you, Randy, are just incredible, and I care about you. And just, if I was there, I'd give you all a big hug right now, you and Monica, and what you're doing to inspire people and serve people. No, it's just incredible, and you are so great. When I was like, well, let's run with the show this way. It's totally off topic. It's not going to be the real estate today. It's not whatever, and I don't want it to be about me either. It's just when we're going through things in life sometimes, you know, we feel the pain with the others, and you're just awesome because you you make it possible for us to do what we're doing and let it roll. So I really appreciate that.
I love radio. I love the opportunity to do this, and I love the fact that our listenership continues to grow, and that tells me that people are responding to the program, and I think it's because, as you and I talked about in even conceiving of this show, that it's about real life and it's about giving back. And I think in the context of real estate, where the, you know, it could be described right now as a kind of a depressed market on some levels in terms of, you know, values of homes and whatnot. On the other hand, it's kind of how you always look at it. If you are wanting to invest, this is the time to do it. So
it's such a great, and it's for buyers. It's phenomenal. The rates have been lower than they've ever been in years, ever. I mean, I don't know the rates. The rates are in history. Yeah, there's an amazing amount of deals out there.
So, yeah, real estate, again, the show about real estate, and we will next week be back on track, our normal time, Wednesday, live at 12 noon Pacific time.
3 East Coast time, 10 o'clock Hawaii time. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.